this little Baptist woman looked over me and she had fire in her eyes. She said, "You come over here and kick this devil of hell out of me and I'm going to be healed right now in the name of Jesus." I thought, wow, that's great faith that little gal had. So I went over there, laid my hands on her, anointed with oil, kicked the devil out because she had repented of every sin. I said, "Now it's done in the name of Jesus." I said, I got to get to the airport. And she said, "I'm going with you." And I said, "Okay." So she got up and she's already dressed. And her husband, we went downstairs and got in the car. And they drove me out to the airport at Corpus. And I said, "I'm sure you are exhausted." I said, "So I'll see y'all later." She said, "Oh, no." She said, "We're going to walk you to the gate." I said, "But ma'am, you're down to about 80 pounds. You must be weak as you can be." She says, "I am strong. I am healed. Jesus set me free. I'm going to walk you to the gate." I said, "Okay, this woman really got faith. This woman really believes God." So she walked me with her husband all the way to the gate. That's back in the days when you didn't have all this security nonsense. And so they stood there at the terminal and waved me off as I got on the airplane and left. And then I didn't know, but on the way home, she stopped her husband. She said, "Honey, I have not had a bite to eat in 3 weeks." Now her colon was stopped up and her intestines were plugged and she had all kinds of problems and because of this breast cancer. And she had not had one bite of food to eat in 3 weeks. She said, "Jesus has healed me. Pull in right there. They got the best fried shrimp in town, and I'm going to have a fried shrimp dinner tonight." Now, that's what you call exercising faith. Amen. That woman stopped in there, had a fried shrimp dinner. The next morning, about 7 o'clock, my phone rang. She said, "Thurman, this is Judy." She said, "Praise God, my husband took me to dinner last night after you left, and I had a beautiful dinner, and I woke up this morning, and everything in my body worked perfect in the name of Jesus." Amen. Now, Amen. Now, that woman was completely healed, gained back all of her weight, got back up to about 125 or 130 pounds, and I saw some pictures of her 6, 8 months or a year later, and she was just a beautiful woman. And her husband and her were doing good. And for about 5 or 6 years, I mean, her testimony was an awesome testimony. Things were going great and everything. And she was doing good. And she used to keep in touch with me and email me and call me every once in a while, praising God for what he had done through me to get her healed and all that stuff. And then one day, her husband, somebody says, "You know, isn't it wonderful what God did for your wife and her miraculous healing?" And he said, "Well, you know, it wasn't really all God." He said, "I fed her some health foods. We're in the health food business to a degree. And it was some of the health foods. That's probably what healed her instead of God." He said something like that. And in 30 days after he made that statement, she was dead. Somebody said, "God would never do nothing like that to me." Oh, yes, he will. Oh, yes, he will. I'm going to show you some things in God's Word today that's going to change your life forever. It's going to change your life forever. There's some things in this book. I want to take you to start off with. I want to show you something here that when you see this book of wisdom, chapter 11, verse 15 and 16, let me ask this question to those of you. Some of you may not, even if you have been a Catholic, since Catholics don't read their Bible very much usually. But Christians don't read theirs much either, so I'm not, you know, as a rule. How many of you had ever read this verse before, ever seen this verse before? Anybody in here ever saw this before? Joseph saw it before. If you've been here very much, you've seen it, because I have it. I talk about it once in a while. But just think. So in verse 16, "So they might learn that one is punished by the very things by which one sins." That's kind of amazing, isn't it? So, you know, next time you get a earache or a toothache or a hand ache or a leg ache or whatever it is, you need to stop and think, "How did I sin with that? What did I do wrong, God? Lord, what did I do, Lord? I repent whatever I did. I repent." So I want to show you something here, and this is going to be, I want to go to 2 Kings chapter 19 and chapter 20. This is going to be a little bit extensive, but I want you to see in 2 Kings chapter 19 and chapter 20. Both of those chapters, I want to start with verse 1, and I want to talk about Hezekiah. Hezekiah was a good king. But I'm going to show you some things that's in there. I don't think I've ever taught on this particular thing, but I've known it's in there for a long time. But 2 Kings chapter 19 and 20. Yeah, no problem. 2 Kings 19 and 20. This is a... Second Kings chapter 19 and chapter 20. We're going to probably go through both of those chapters. We'll go through it pretty fast, but we'll go through in the NLT, Dave, if you want to. That'll be okay. We read two translations a lot here, the NLT and the King James. We use the Amplified. We use lots of them, but always read them together. But I want you to see something about Hezekiah. Hezekiah was a great king. He served God, and he pleased him in lots of ways. When King Hezekiah heard their report, he tore his clothes and put on sackcloth and went into the temple of the Lord to pray. Now, that's a pretty good indication he's a pretty good guy, right? I mean, he repented. He went into the temple of the Lord to pray. And he sent Eliakim, the palace administrator, sent the court secretary and the leading priest, all dressed in sackcloth, to the prophet Isaiah, son of Amos. So he's got a prophet, and it's the prophet Isaiah and everything, so he obviously is a man of God. Okay, verse 3 and 4. They told him, this is what King Hezekiah says. This is a day of trouble, insult, and disgrace. It is like when a child is ready to be born, but the mother has no strength to deliver it. Hey, that's if you've ever been a mother and you're trying to deliver a baby and you can't get that little critter out, you know what I mean right here, right? There's no strength to push this little guy out. I mean, so I was telling Cheryl the other day, I said, you know, we just had another baby born. David and Asia had a 10-pound, what, 5 ounces or whatever, 8 ounce, 10-pound, 8-ounce baby boy, and was born right here at the ministry center, and she pushed that little guy out, and bam, no tearing or nothing, and that little guy came shooting right out of there. I'm telling you what, you know, that Dave got to deliver it. You know, now, if God's not delivering that big a baby, you're going to have trouble. You know, I'm telling you, some women have trouble delivering a 6-pound. You know what I mean? Because they may not be walking with God as close as Dave and yes, she is, but... Anyway, I told Cheryl, I said, you know, I can remember in my life whenever my dad and I would have some heifers that would be time for them to deliver a baby, and they couldn't deliver it. It was a young girl, young heifer, they were only a year and a half, 2 years old, and they've never had a baby before, and they're trying to have this little guy, and they can't. And, I mean, if you've been a rancher, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Many times we go down there, and we take the little feet that are trying to come out, and we put a little trace chain around the feet, tie them on the front bumper of the pickup, and back up and pull that little guy out. You know, and somebody said, ooh, well, let me tell you, you either do that or they die. And some of you guys have been farmers, probably done that before in your life, right? You know what I mean? So when he says here, this is a day of trouble, it's like when a child is ready to be born and the mother has no strength to deliver it. So, I mean, you know, they're in trouble. But perhaps the Lord, your God, has heard the Assyrian representative defying the living God, and will punish him for his words. Oh, pray for those of us who are left. Now, do you think God heard this whole conversation? Yeah. Absolutely. He heard this. He knows what's going on. Okay, verse 5 and 6. But people, you know, we don't know. We don't believe there is a God today. So many of us. Even in the church, that's what's so devastating. After King Hezekiah's official delivered the king's message to Isaiah, the prophet replied, say to your master, this is what the Lord says. Now, when you have a prophet say this, you better make sure he is a man of God. You want to know that the man is a man of God. Do not be disturbed by this blasphemous speech against me from the Assyrian king's message. Verse 7 and 8. Listen, I myself will move against him. And the king will receive a report from Assyria telling him that he is needed at home. Then I will make him want to return to his land where I will have him killed with a sword. Now, who's going to do all that? God is going to have this king that just threatened Hezekiah and all of Jerusalem to wipe them out and everything. And oh, Hezekiah's all upset. And oh, he's all concerned about all this and everything. So he goes to the prophet. And the minute the prophet says, don't have any problem. I'll move. I'll have him go back home. And I'll have him killed by the sword in his own home. I mean, that's something, isn't it? But that's what that said, isn't it, Jack? That's what that said. So that just comes down to the point. Do you believe God's in control of everything? He's in control of everything. You don't have to have no fear of nothing if you're a born-again, Spirit-filled child of God today. This same God that we're talking about right here, He's in control of your life. You know, and He will either heal you or He will not heal you. It'll all be according to faith and the way you understand Him and what you've done. Then He says, meanwhile, the Assyrian representative left Jerusalem and went to consult his king who had left Lachish and was attacking Libna. Okay, so this guy, he's after him out there. He's destroying things, wiping things out. Soon after King Sennacherib received word that the king, some of these names or something else, of Ethiopia was leading an army to fight against him, before leaving to meet the attack, he sent this message back to Hezekiah in Jerusalem. Now, it's obviously he's not very much afraid of this king. This message is for King Hezekiah of Judah. Don't let this God you trust deceive you with promises that Jerusalem will not be captured by the king of Assyria. Oh. He doesn't know the God that I know. Does he, does he know the God you know? No, he don't know him. Has no clue who he is. Now, is there people like that on the world today? I'm telling you, the world's full of them. Full of them. Absolutely full of them. And a whole bunch of them in the church. But that's the sad part. He just said, don't let this God you trust deceive you with promises that Jerusalem will not be captured by the king of Assyria. Man, I'm telling you, I'm going to wipe you out. Okay, verses 11 and 12. You know perfectly well what the kings of Assyria have done. Wherever they have gone, they have crushed everyone who stood in their way. Why should you be any different? This guy is going to wipe them out. Have the gods of other nations rescued them? You notice that's all G, the little G's. They're not gods at all, were they? Such nations as Gozan, Haran, Repsut, and the people of Eden who were in Telzair, the former kings of Assyria, destroyed them all. Okay, so I can understand how this guy has his pride built up there. What happened to the king of Hamath and the king of Ephrath? What happened to the kings of Seraphim? And goes on and on. After Hezekiah received the letter and read it, he went up to the Lord's temple and spread it out before the Lord.
We're going to have to stop right there for today, but we'll start again tomorrow with a teaching. And if you'd like to have these teachings in their entirety, if you would just give us a call, we'll be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. That's at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. And we'll send them to you free and postpaid. Or you can go to our website. You can listen to these teachings again from the website. Or you can get them free and postpaid from www.tlsm.org. www.tlsm.org. That's the Living Savior Ministries. There you can listen to these again, or you can order them free and postpaid, and many other teachings free and postpaid from our website. Praise the Lord Jesus.